There's so many different reasons why people should be self-sufficient, in my opinion. But one of the greatest things that I think we all would not have controversial discussions about is what it does for bonding between you and your kids when you involve them in the process. So, talk to me a little bit about that. What has it been like as a mom, having kids around and doing all of these kind of homesteading things on a regular basis?
Welcome to Systemize Your Life. This is your go-to podcast for work-from-home moms who are desperate to reclaim control, find order, and escape the never-ending cycle of overwhelm. Hi, I'm your host, Chelsea Joe. I've dedicated this show to modern women just like you who are eager to give their very best to their home, family, and work, all without losing themselves in the process. Get ready to discover the systems you need to craft powerful relationships, get organized, keep up on that housework, manage your time like a boss, love those babies well, and maybe even sneak in a date night or two. If you are tired of hopelessly watching life pass you by, then it's time to grab your ticket off that hot mess express and join me in life where systems do all the heavy lifting. This is where you transform your chaos into confidence and take your life from overwhelmed to organized. What do you say, friends? Let's do this.
Welcome to the Systemize Your Life podcast. You guys, I'm so excited to have Brittany here. Brittany, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what you juggle on a regular basis.
Don't we all juggle so much? So I'm Brittany. I am from the Homestead Challenge podcast and blog, and I am a suburban homesteader slash wannabe homesteader working on incorporating all of these crazy homesteading things into my everyday life that is pretty regular, pretty modern, not necessarily what you think of when you think of a homesteader. Don't have a lot of land. I live on a quarter acre in the suburbs, just doing what I can with what we have.
Yeah, I love it, which is what we're going to talk about today. I'm really excited to dive into this topic because obviously, if you've been listening to the show or you know me at all, or you know me through the podcast, you know that I'm really big into making sure that things are natural and clean. And by way of that, you start kind of leaning into this whole topic and it's become like super popular, I feel like, as of late. And I want to kind of talk about all the things related to homesteading. And so the goal of this podcast truly is to give you guys an insight on what it looks like to not just homestead, but we're going to talk about being self-sufficient because I think that that is one and the same in my mind. And it's something that helps me say, oh, okay. So like, instead of needing to go to the store to buy bread all the time, I could learn how to make my bread. But that's just one example. That's just super popular right now. Everybody's obsessed with sourdough, which we've got stories for that in a minute. But the first thing that I really want to talk about and have you answer, Brittany, is how did this get started for you? I'll talk a little bit about how it got started for me too, but I want to know like how you got into homesteading and why you think it's important for moms to go down this rabbit hole, just like me and you have, and why is it important for them?
Yeah. So I have a couple opinions about that, but first I will talk about a little just of my story. So it really started for me, actually. I started after college working for a nonprofit for a national park. So I went like, you know, super crunchy looking at eco-friendly things like that has always been my passion. And that's where it started for me, which is maybe not the same for a lot of people. And that's cool. And then as I got married and as I started to try to have kids, I was having some trouble with that. And I actually then kind of moved from eco-friendly to non-toxic living. So I cut out pretty much all artificial fragrances in the home before I was like, crazy Bath and Body Works lady, like
all the Glade plugins,
all the stuff. Oh, every single outlet was full of the
PSA
plugins.
Public service announcement. I interrupt this episode to let you know if you have any Glade plugins, throw them away while you're listening to this episode, please. There's better alternatives. Okay,
yes. So then, honestly, this is obviously not the same for anybody. I'm not making any claims here, but for me, my periods became regular after getting rid of all these things after a year or so. And I was able to be blessed with my first child. So that was wonderful. And definitely as then I had my first child, went down more rabbit holes of, you know, being the paranoid mom, making sure that I wanted to do all of the healthy things for my kiddo. So that led me then to 2020, the year that everybody wanted to homestead.
Had to, kind of.
Seriously. So it was a weird year for me. We were a military family, actually, and we were moving that year. In the heart of it all, I moved from Hawaii to Alabama with my newborn on an airplane. So craziness. But when I did get settled in after that move, I started with my friend. We were like, we want to learn how to do all this stuff. We want to learn sourdough. We want to learn canning, all of it. And so we started this little Instagram challenge, the Homestead Challenge. And we were literally going to try to learn a new one of these things every single week, which is silly. Don't do that. Absolutely not. Cannot recommend. So I got super overwhelmed after doing this for a period of time and then like probably ignoring my baby a little bit along the way. I'm sure I wasn't, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like totally overwhelmed. And then I just kind of gave it all up. I was like, okay, this is not for me. So that leads me into, why do I think that moms should incorporate these practices? And honestly, you don't have to. So that's the cool thing. So for every single person, your reason is going to be different. And do I think everybody's going to be a homesteader? Absolutely not. But what I hear time and time again from so many people is, oh, I really want to learn sourdough, but oh man, I would really love to start my garden and grow all of my own food. But so, you know, I don't have enough time, or there's so many things to learn. I'm so confused where to even start. And I just hear that over and over and over again because of all of the information all around the internet and how popular it is and the 20 different ways to do every kind of thing. And people get so overwhelmed figuring out where to start with all of this stuff. So do I think you need it at all? No. Find out what you want to do and be cool with doing those things that actually fit into your lifestyle. Don't feel like it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah. Which we're going to talk about that and what you suggest. And obviously we're not suggesting that you go all in, which we do, especially moms, when we think that we found a solution to a problem for our kids or even for our health that's impacting our kids. It has to just be related to the kids somehow. Once it is, we're like, you know, we can't do anything. That's like all we do for days and days and days and days. And then we look up and we're like, oh, we failed. This was a terrible idea. So we're going to talk about that not being the way to do it in just a second. But I think the interesting thing is a lot of people say, oh, it's a slippery slope. And it's really cool to hear other people's stories and how going from, for me, the opposite of homesteading is mainstream, right? Like homesteading is what everyone came from, period. Everyone came from homesteading. Everybody, every person. There was no mass production of anything. Hearing stories of what life used to look like from grandparents. My grandmother is 92 and still living. And she has amazing stories of the outhouse and like what life looked like, you know, even what her feminine products were. There weren't products, you know, like there's just the stories are super cool. And then we look at what happened when industrialization happened, all kinds of things, right? After the Great Depression, all the stuff that, you know, my grandmother's family lived through. And we look at how all the things have changed, what it's done for to our food. There's a lot of different things that have impacted us to get where we are. And I think the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is because I'm super obsessed with this one specific concept and notion that I keep seeing come through all different types of channels, whether it be podcasts, it's just out there in the world that women of this generation are trying to learn things that they were never taught, but that were done in two generations back. It just literally skipped two generations. And now there's so many of us that are hungry to learn what those things were. And like, I actually want to look at the cookbooks that my great grandmothers or my great aunt or whoever it was used to use, you know, even my grandmother or even my mom. There's things that I think for so many of us, we just assumed we'll never need that. We don't need that. I can go to Trader Joe's and get my chicken pot pie already baked for me. So, you know, like I don't need to know how to bake pie crust or, and it's not just about the baking, right? It's so many other things outside of just food related. And I will never, oh, I'm not going to say never. Right now, I will never have animals. We don't have, you know, land. We live in a really big city, but it's still something that I really want to incorporate in my life. And it came to be through my health. I had to get rid of all of the toxins. I had major chronic fatigue issues, tons of autoimmune issues, all different kinds, all the things, you know, and I completely put all of my symptoms into remission by way of taking control of what I had in my home, whether it be food, chemicals, what I clean with, all the things that I talk about on a regular basis. But now I love this idea of taking it a step further and looking at just making swaps, as many swaps as I can until I feel comfortable with, okay, now I'm no longer buying the probiotics that we used to buy because I am fermenting a lot of my own food. Cool. That feels really good. Now what can I layer in once these things start coming? And I wonder, is that what you see and what you recommend for people that don't have land or they're too busy and they want to put these practices into their lifestyle? They want this for like me, right? Like I have this idea of like this perfect homestead here at home, and I'm not there. I'm not even close to where I want to be. So what do you recommend, and how do we take all this information and do something really useful with it?
So first, I want to say my favorite quote from, if you've ever seen Jessica Sowards on Roots and Refuge, she has the best YouTube. I just love her approach to homesteading in general. It's so relaxed and relatable, but she always says, turn your waiting room into a classroom. So whether you are waiting for a forever homestead, if you do want land someday, or whether you're just waiting for your dream of actually being able to do all the things that you want to do in your own home to come true, you can learn these things now, and then that way it'll be much less overwhelming later. So I think it's really important, like you said, to incorporate these things slowly over time, even though we totally all, I mean, we're all guilty of trying to learn all of the things we want to learn at one time. Like, absolutely. So somebody in my community the other day came to me and was like, wow, I am so overwhelmed right now. Like, I thought that I had a plan in place for this year of what I was going to learn to grow in my garden. I also want to start learning to cook from scratch, but now I'm seeing all the gardening stuff come out on Instagram and I want to plant all the things. So like what I told her and what I think is the most important, if you are trying to be self-sufficient in ways, is actually thinking of what you use all the time in your house.
Yeah.
So like for me, we actually don't have like a ton of bread. I love bread, but my toddlers don't eat like all that much bread. If they do, they like pick out the middle parts and won't eat the crust. So if I bake all of this sourdough, then me and my husband are just eating loaves and
bread
loaves
bowls.
Of bread.
Yeah. It's bread bowl. It's bread bowl night again. We're having soup and bread bowls.
So seriously though, so she wanted to learn how to cook from scratch. Cool. So you have to eat anyway. So let's start incorporating this into your systems, which Systemize Your Life helped me with this kind of thing so much. You have to get your everyday life in order before you start tackling on all the things. Mm-hmm. So you need to get into meal planning. Okay, this meal planning is going to help you eventually come up with an arsenal of recipes that you have, you know, in your stash to always pull from. And I know that your meal plan has a lot to do with that. Because let's be honest, most of us do cook the same things over and over again. And yeah. Our families are probably perfectly happy with that. Like, mm-hmm. We're the only ones that care. Our kids and our husbands are like, great, favorite meal, perfect.
It's food.
Like,
cool, yeah. I'm hungry, feed me.
So find out what you're cooking on a regular basis. And then from there, okay, so what can I replace by gardening? I have every single week, I'm buying this thing from the grocery store in order to make our favorite meals. Okay, well, let's learn really, really well how to garden those things. And then we can become more self-sufficient in that way. And of course, if we want to throw on all the cut flowers on top of it, or this on top of it, and this on top of it, we can. But maybe that's not where we're going to spend all of our energy. We can throw some seeds into the ground over here, but actually maybe take a course specific to root vegetable gardening. There are so many amazing courses online, and I think a lot of people are really hesitant to invest in themselves learning in this way if it's not like necessarily just a business kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there are so many options out there that I think is really cool. And just learning to do that one thing that's going to replace something you're already doing. I think that's the way you got to start. Of course, adding on all the other stuff later is great, but perfecting those things, I think, is key to becoming self-sufficient as much as you want to be.
Yeah, I guess for me, I never thought of it like that, but that was really encouraging and definitely inspired me to think about like what I would want to grow, because gardening is a huge part of what I love to do. But my mother has an amazing garden and she's always been into a garden all my life. I remember my mom having a garden. So I was just like, well, I'll just let my mom, I'll go over and help. But I still have a desire to learn because, you know, I want to be able to pass that on to my kids through me, not just by way of my mom. And she'd be a great teacher for me. Obviously, we live in Arizona, so it makes it very different, but it's one of the major zones. People garden here all the time. And like, just thinking like, oh my gosh, actually, I love fresh cut flowers. Like, I could totally start with that. Like, that's really fun. And even if it's just herbs, I love herbs and I'm always going to the grocery store and they never have the herbs that I want. Like, I can totally grow herbs and being okay with that. Because I think for me, I'm always a whole lot of like all or nothing, you know? So that's a really great thing to think about is what are you normally using? I guess I just wrote it off because I'm like tomatoes. I'm like, and then I was about to say it's really hard to grow tomatoes here, but my mom grows tomatoes like crazy. So that's probably not accurate. So it's like, okay, I guess I need to flush through the things that I have been thinking because they're probably not accurate. And, you know, you're listening to this podcast right now, probably going through the same thought process as me. So I hope that you're having the same kind of like light bulb go off in your head as me right now of like, oh, wow, there's other options and there's other opportunities. And I want to speak to the thing that you said about the courses. And I think to your point is, women have a hard time investing in themselves, period. They always feel like they have to have a reason. And so we justify it in the business realm because there's a return on that investment via money. But I haven't bought a course. I think maybe my mom, a couple of my friends have canning courses, different things like that. The return on that investment is greater than any financial gain that you could ever have through business. Yeah. Like it truly is in so many ways that like we probably shouldn't even open the can of worms, but like being self-sufficient for whatever, you know, may or may not happen, or just there's so many different reasons why people should be self-sufficient in my opinion. But one of the greatest things that I think we all would not have controversial discussions about is what it does for bonding between you and your kids when you involve them in the process. So talk to me a little bit about that. What has it been like as a mom having kids around and doing all of these kind of homesteading things on a regular basis?
Yeah. So I have a 2 and a 4-year-old. That's always fun. And they help me with a lot, actually. I'm not one of those people that you do see online that their kids are making their full breakfast. And yeah, I haven't gone that far. I see it all the time online, which is awesome. Super awesome. I think that's on me. I have
it's
a little
coming.
Bit of a type
and
A personality.
When they get older, yeah. They totally will.
Yeah.
They will.
But my one, the older one, especially loves baking. So we don't bake regular dinner sourdough loaves, but one of my favorite things to batch cook on the weekends is actually sourdough English muffins. Mm. So he knows now really how to make those very well. And then we actually just put them in the freezer and I could make probably several months in advance now that I think about it, but I only make them a week at a time. You put them in the freezer and then you just pop them in the toaster or oven and good to go for breakfast. We have eggs and sausage on them for breakfast almost every day. So
I love that.
And I love, you're going to get stressed if you're learning a new thing like a sourdough or something like that and trying to have your kids do it. But things like discard recipes are so great to start with your kids because they're not all measured in grams. If you have an older kid, then that's great teaching them with the scale and everything. But for like English muffins, you're just throwing things in there. And if it's not perfect and it's a little over or under, totally fine. So always start with them in the kitchen with things that you know how to do well yourself. So you're not getting super stressed out. That helps a lot. And then the garden is just the most fun place for kids because there's really nothing they can screw up. I mean, truly, most things are very hardy. My kids love to dig in the dirt. I'm probably going to give them their own section to garden with this year. So I think I mentioned, I'm not sure, we were military. And so we got out, finally moved back to where I'm from and have a house now. So this is my first year gardening on a much larger scale than I've ever done before because we were renting. So I'm going to probably give them their own garden this year. And my favorite thing I want to do is you get all these pots. And you put them in a circle. And then you make like a little hut with like trellises, and then you have vining things that grow up, and it's like a little, I don't know, they're going to have cucumber, squash, mini pumpkins all growing up around them, and they'll have their own little playhouse back
cute.
There.
I love that so much.
So I think just making things fun for them, one, and two, making sure it's something that's not going to stress you out. If you're brand new to learning sourdough and you want to be perfect at that, like probably don't pick that as the thing that you're going to do with your two-year-old.
Yeah, I think some of the other ways, like outside of food, and then I'll mention some of these examples and you can too. And then I just want to talk about where people can connect with you and what you would have somebody do. Like if they're super into this and they're really curious, what's the next step for them? But before you answer that, I want to say that I think a huge part too of homesteading that I really like is like making all my cleaning supplies. I make my own cleaners for my makeup brushes, my own laundry soap, my own dish soap. Like there's so many different things that you can literally make from scratch, you know? And that's the fun of it. This concept for me of overconsumption is another reason why I'm really into this when I see how much my family consumes. And that wasn't the way that it was growing up. We just reused things until they literally disintegrated, like actually disintegrated, you know, or, you know, my dad fixed everything. And like, seriously, my mother is still using the same washing machine that I had all my life. This washing machine is like 30 or 40 years old and she's still using it. Like, it's things like that that I'm like, gosh, dang, I really lost the art of that. And that's sad to me. I want my kids to know that. And so teaching them how to refill our hand soaps and, you know, the way that we, when a certain scrubber in my kitchen wears out and I'm getting ready to toss it, I actually make that the scrubber that I use for the dog bowl. Like that concept is homesteading, in my opinion. Like that's how we create self-sufficiency, is by reducing our consumption. So I just wanted to leave that in everybody's heads here before you go find out how to connect with Brittany, is like, it's not just about learning how to be in the kitchen all the time, you know, it's about trying to figure out how to make things stretch, which impacts your budget and makes your brain more creative. And it's not as time consuming as you think, you know, little teeny tiny switches in these things over time. I watch my students do it all the time. It's really, really fun. So, okay, next best step for people, what do they need to do to take action and where do they find you?
Ah, love that so much. Okay, so people can find me at thehomesteadchallenge.com or wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can search The Homestead Challenge. I have that there. If you are interested in trying to figure out where to start with any of these things, then I actually have a resource guide that's a little roadmap in, you know, if you want to learn herbalism or kitchen stuff or garden stuff, doesn't matter. It's going to give you a little guide on what you should do first and hopefully reduce a little bit of overwhelm for you because there's a lot of it.
Yeah. All that will be linked down in the show notes. Brittany, thank you so much for being here and sharing just your enthusiasm and knowledge on this topic. And I am looking forward to seeing everybody take this episode and go run with it and hopefully get super inspired. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a sincere invitation to you, an incredible wife, mom, and woman who has serious dreams of making change, to really take what you learned today and implement even just a small part of it in your life. When you make changes, it inspires everyone around you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'm certain it will resonate with others too. So head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. Your review will help more women discover our podcast and join our supportive community. But your impact doesn't stop there. You hold the power to motivate and equip the women closest to you in your life with a simple, "Hey girl, let's do this together." Text this episode to your best friend or maybe even your mama. Whoever it is in your life that's knee-deep in the same kind of chaos you're in, they need to know about this system too. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and post it to your stories. Because together, we can create a trail of wisdom for all the incredible women around us, reshaping how we not only care for ourselves, but each other. I can't wait to connect with you on Instagram until we meet back here again real soon for the next episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast.